Friday. And welcome back to the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening. Still a lot to come on the program today. Clay Schofield, the state Senate Majority Leader Designate, will be with us here shortly and a lot more, so stick around for that. But joining us now, always a pleasure, our usual Friday guest, one of Schofield's colleagues here, State Senator Chris Elliott, here for his weekly appearance. Senator, how are you this morning?
Doing great. Been a busy week in Montgomery to start with, and more to come.
Well, let's get right into that. Budget hearings this week. Did we learn anything? Anything that we need to be anticipating in the coming weeks?
You know, a lot of good information as usual. I think one of the things that was most interesting that I saw was how well the live streaming portion of it worked out. So even members that were there didn't feel like they necessarily needed to be in the room and were able to watch it from their offices or other places. So I think, you know, just testing that out and seeing how that was going to work is going pretty well. The budgets are in the revenue side of things is in reasonable shape. It's not gangbusters, but it's certainly not as bad as it could have been. And, you know, with COVID and the slowdown, so I think things are good. And then just a flurry of activity, Jeff, with pre-filed bills. When I left, there were over 105 pre-filed bills in the Senate alone. So I expect a very active start to the session and folks getting off to the races pretty soon.
Well, one of the dust-ups this week dealt with the prison situation. Jeff Dunn, Cam Ward, there at the budget hearings. We don't really have any details yet about which way or how that is going to go, but all indications are that Governor Ivey's going to release some details to some kind of lease build program. Do we know anything more than we have known, I guess, prior to these activities?
No, and the administration seems perfectly willing to simply say, we're not telling you, and it is becoming increasingly hard for myself and my colleagues to simply accept that we are to appropriate, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars and have no details on it. And you saw that in an exchange between Representative Moody and Commissioner Dunn earlier this week. I mean, the frustration level is palpable there. And then you've got the frustration Representative Hall brought up that you're seeing from the county commissions and the sheriffs, who are housing now more than 4,000 state inmates at county jails. And there just seems to be no willingness to acknowledge that those are state inmates, that they need to be transferred, that there is a significant cost to the counties for doing that. I just have never seen anything like it before, with a state agency like that just basically telling the legislature, you know, you can't make me, and I'm not going to tell you. And that is really the message that's coming out of there.
Well, it's hard to see where you can really – where there's any leverage you guys in the legislative branch have. And I assume a lot of your colleagues are just willing to go along with things, right, for now that we've tried this in the past. And you young guys, you guys have only been here for this quadrennium. You don't remember the wars we fought. This is the best way to proceed, and that seems to be the prevailing sentiment.
It does, and you are correct about that. And it is a complicated problem, and it is a tough issue. And my concern is that this fix may not be a fiscally responsible one, but I don't know that because you don't have any of the details. It could be, but it could also not be. It's just that it is happening in a vacuum. And then, of course, when you really look at the numbers, you see an additional problem, and that is that we still may be in running a deficit when it comes to the number of beds we have. And we may not be fixing the problem, even though we're throwing a lot of money at it. And I'm just not sure that's the right way to go. But the administration and the Department of Corrections are certainly not providing any details or data to let us digest to get any level of comfort with the path they're headed down right now.
Is the justification still this? Is it that we can't tell you the details because we're still negotiating the contract. And if we start telling you things, well, that can upset the negotiations. I mean, how much longer will that excuse be allowed?
Well, you know, that is what we are hearing. But you have to wonder if you're not sharing the details of a deal like this, is it because it's a, you know, it's some sort of, you know, negotiating tactic? Is it because the details aren't any good? Is it because it's an incredibly expensive plan that will not be a good use of taxpayers' funds? You know, you have to wonder about, you know, why all the secrecy? If it's a good plan and it's a good deal for the state and for taxpayers, wouldn't you want to be talking about it? I just don't understand why the secrecy. The justification seems to be it's a competitive negotiation, but I am reminded of the Shakespeare line, "She does protest too much, methinks." You got to wonder, you know, are we hiding it just because the details are not good?
Well, I'm going to speculate there. I mean, maybe there's still shell shock from the Bayway Toll Bridge experience. When this is tried in the media and on social media, the outcome is we have to abandon everything, and they don't want to have that same scenario. But I guess the problem would be if it happens like that this time, then do you run the risk of that being kind of a more of a precedent and getting hard, politically tough things done? You just figure out a way to do it without, you know, it's not even trying it in the legislature. So it's trying it in the court of public opinion.
Well, I would argue that that's a great comparison, but I would also argue that that's exactly what needs to happen. You know, we need to shine some light on it. There needs to be some transparency there that what occurred with the Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project and the proposal by the administration was exactly what needed to happen. Once you got into the details, once we all were able to get into the negotiations, the proposals, the caveats that were going to be in the contract, everybody realized this is a bad deal, and it died, and it should have. And now you see a potential resurrection of something coming along that will be much better for the taxpayer, much better for the commuter, and all around better. And you have to wonder, yes, it may take longer. Yes, you may have to answer some questions. But isn't the end result you get much better in the end, and really how you ought to govern?
Well, and we all know the saga here. The DOJ is on the verge of or has filed a lawsuit against the state. And there will be proceedings and all that, but I mean, I'm not sure how this is going to go. But just at face value, it seems very fragile. That if it does finally make it into the court of public opinion, and it does have some question marks surrounding it, that it falls apart, wouldn't that just amp up the DOJ scrutiny even harder?
Well, and I understand that argument, but the DOJ's problems with our Department of Corrections is not just how many beds we have. And oh, by the way, the proposal, the administration's proposal, the DOC's proposal, doesn't really fix that. It doesn't add a significant amount of beds when you start closing the other facilities. DOJ's problem with our corrections are institutionally institutional problems. They're management problems. Their conduct problems within the prison. It's not just bed space. So I think even if this sails through, which I don't think it will, even if it sails through and all these prisons are built, all of those underlying issues that DOJ has with our prison system, that they are threatening, that they are currently suing us over, those don't go away. The administration's proposal here is not a panacea and is not going to fix the lion's share of the problems that we are facing at DOC. That's got to be a management change in order to fix that problem.
But as far as what that's going to take, you said management change. I mean, is that a new commissioner, or is there some legislative steps that can be taken? I mean, we've been talking about this problem for 2 years, it seems now, and it's finally hit the fan. And now something's got to be done. Granted, COVID got to upset things in 2020. You weren't able to get anything done. But all during 2019, Governor Ivey laid it out in her inaugural address there in early 2019. I remember it was prisons and infrastructure. Infrastructure got checked off the list right away. Prisons still outstanding as we stand here today.
These are tough, complicated issues, no doubt. The problem is there are an awful, awful lot of them, and it would be a lot for any single manager to handle. I know others of my colleagues have called for a management change at DOC. I'm not sure that we have to do that. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with the lack of answers. I'm frustrated with the answer to counties that we are just not going to take our responsibility for our inmates. I think that's completely unacceptable. But there are literally dozens of huge problems in DOC, all of which have to be dealt with and changed. It is a Herculean task, and you know we got to go through it bit by bit in order to get it changed. But we're going to have to start seeing some significant progress, or the risk of the DOJ, taking over is very real, and it won't be changed simply by building new privately owned prisons.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Let's move on to what should be a somewhat happier or more optimistic forward-looking topic, gaming in Alabama. We had Del Marsh on earlier in the week, or actually last week, and he says he's got a proposal for gaming. It's a comprehensive package. As far as once you get in those first 2 weeks, and let's say you get all the three big things with limit the liability protection, the taxation taken care of, economic development, and you get some work done, progress on the budgets, whatever that might be, then we start talking about these other big ticket items. And gaming, always about this time of year, right before we go into the official start of the new legislative year. Will Alabama or won't Alabama get a lottery done this year? It's been the last 20 years or so. Any reason for us to be optimistic?
I think that there is broad support for a lottery. I think that getting there is going to be tough because everybody that I talk to from a colleague standpoint seems to have some caveat about what has to be in the bill or what can't be in the bill in order for it to move. And it just seems very difficult to get all of those folks on the same page. I'm in favor of a lottery. I voted for a lottery before. I'll vote for one again, or more specifically for, to put an amendment on the ballot so that people can vote for it. But I am just concerned that there are a lot of my colleagues that have caveats that are just going to be hard to satisfy everybody, and especially in the House. The Senate has passed this time and time again in one form or another, and it has just not seen action in the House. And I'm curious to see what the House does with it this time.
Yeah, and the Senate's been where, you haven't had the typically in the last couple of years, you haven't had to tie up, and the Senate's where bills would go die, but here lately it's been the House. Just, I guess, the divisions, the contrast are a little more stark than they are in the Senate. But you guys also, and it's not just a political affiliation or partisan thing, but you're able to get a lot of Democrats to come on board with you guys in the Senate, it seems, more so than the House.
That's true, and the working relationship between the different sides of the aisle and the Senate is very different than the dynamic that the House has. We work very closely with our Democratic colleagues in the Senate. It's very congenial. Again, the House is different. And when it comes to gaming in particular, the divisions within the caucus in the House are different as well, and more pronounced on the issue of gaming. So I don't mean to not give you hope on that. I just am. And I am and remain hopeful, but I certainly have my doubts of this to be successful.
I guess it's just folks are looking for a reason to be optimistic, and perhaps, you know, we always talk about it. But it does seem to, at least, if anything, the different sides on that issue are closer than they've ever been before in the last 10 years or so.
I think that's a fair point, and I also think with Senator Marsh leading and championing this issue, and frankly having the time to devote to it, it stands a better chance than it has in the recent past of actually moving forward.
Senator, we're out of time. We got to leave it there, but I appreciate you making time for us and look forward to do it again next week.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get another break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porsche Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, he's lying there instead of getting out of bed and putting on his boots and getting gone. What you gonna do when he says, honey, I got a half a mind to stay? What you gonna do with a cowboy when he don't saddle up and ride away?